Hello and welcome to the final episode of this season of Gamer Era. The red carpet has been rolled out. We've got the Keighley Awards waiting in the wings, our little versions of the Keighleys. We haven't decided what they're called yet. The Trues, the Hoops,
the
segments. Yeah. Who knows? We will hold a poll to decide. We'll not be doing that. Joining me as always is the lovely David. Hello, David. It's been a while since we last recorded together. How are we doing? How's the wonderful week in gaming gone?
How has it gone?
That's the question on everyone's lips.
I am very sad. Anyway, to get past the incredibly intense mental health I'm having right at the moment, I played Mirror's Edge. I played Mirror's Edge to the point where you first encounter the cops, because, like, as I imagine, is a rite of passage.
I genuinely
kind of did, but I feel like it's a rite of passage that, like, you're kind of shit at that game until you get used to, like, the rhythms of, like, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a bit when the cops were to jump off, like, run off the rooftop and jump. And I missed on the jump, and I was like, I don't have the patience to do this. But before that, and before spinouts, I was in search of something, because I didn't have an idea really for what I was going to do today.
Okay.
And this was like weeks ago now. So I played Winky the Little Bear on PS1 for some closure, like, you know, because I was like,
sure.
It's the end of the run. I might as well get some closure on, like, you know, this and that. It's obviously like a Phoenix Games game. I sent you the video that I took of, because you go into the game, it's just like, you can watch a cartoon or do paint by numbers,
yeah,
or do a slight puzzle. I sent you a clip of the cartoon where it's like incredibly cursed, like vaguely European voice acting.
Yeah. Mumbling is the best way to describe it. This is going to be a bit of a full circle episode in general, a bit of a wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Winky the Little Bear is one of those things where you said it in the episode, and I think it was episode 2,
it was, you say.
It very offhandedly, but then because I was editing the trailer and I just had to grab bits where we were like laughing or whatever, I just singled out you just saying Winky the Little Bear in 2003 for the PlayStation 1. And for some reason that compelled you. You're like, I need to, because it was just like you just read it out on a big list of games, all of these things that the Code Monkeys had done with Dingo Pictures, who are the like bizarre sort of, they produced all these PS2 games that were essentially designed to like trick grandmas at the shopping aisle. You know, it was like, this is definitely like based off a Disney film or whatever. This is definitely a Disney movie. Like, just pick this up at Asda or Aldi or whatever. Don't think about it. Winky the Little Bear. Very disturbing. I don't know how they produce those cartoons is the thing. Like, they're like these, because I think they are digitally animated, but then like it looks like they have actually physically drawn them and then like scanned them in and tried to like manipulate. It's like in a particularly sweaty Simpsons episode where you can tell, like, and this is probably very insider baseball, but like if you ever watch like season 3 or 4, some of the best episodes of the show, you'll notice they have this tendency to like ADR the hell out of certain sequences where they just like got cold feet about a gag and they'll just be like scrubbing back and forth. You get that kind of energy. I had that on the mind because someone had shared that clip from the Union episode, Last Exit to Springfield, and the bit where they're interviewing Homer, and there's a bit where Kent Brockman is like, they say striking is a lumbering dinosaur, what do you have to say to that? And Homer literally just scrubs his mouth open and close and just goes, joke did they cut there? He like clearly went to say something and they just were like, no, it'd be just funny if he just screamed. Love that for those guys.
Speaking of loving things, I also played, and it's kind of teasing what I'm gonna talk about later on.
Sure.
I played for about maybe 10 minutes 15 minutes Treasure Planet on the PS1. I love that movie. That game is it's fine.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, I wasn't here last week, and I want to set the record straight. I did go to London. No, actually, you know, because yeah, we'll get to that.
Sure.
But the whole ordeal, you know, I got to Gatwick fine, got to Clapham Junction fine, had to get a bus to where my friend was. The bus didn't seem to exist. I don't know if you remember me like frantically texting you, being like, do you know this works? And you like just use this app. And I was like, yeah, I'll use this app. And the app told me to go to a bus stop that didn't exist. So the Google Maps, so I had to walk about 50 minutes through London. I got there in the end.
Yeah.
The next day, I didn't eat or drink from about 10 out of 10. I had like maybe a quarter bottle of water and a slight. My friend got like a good, too good to go order from this bakery near where he lives. And like the only thing left was this like fruit loaf kind of thing.
Of course.
And I had a slice when I got there, and it was fine. It was nice enough. Mm. Overnight, something happened to that bread.
Oh no.
And I had a slice in the morning, and it was so like sour and bitter and just inedible. It was horrible. So I had a slice of that.
It was too good to go, too bad to eat.
Yeah. It was caught between the two realms.
Yeah.
And I had that for my breakfast, a slice of that, and a quarter of a bottle of water that my friend had got from the airport like a month ago. And that's all I had to eat from like maybe 9:30.
Right.
In the morning to like 4:30 in the evening after walking through London in like sweltering heat.
Oh my god.
So I had a really bad headache. Really, really bad headache. And then of course the next day, gamer era meeting happened.
Gamer era became real.
I walked into your workplace, bought a sandwich, and then ate it in the most like depressing way possible while trying to talk to you, while trying not to die of a headache, while being like, I have to say something about the sandwiches that I bought from
okay.
place of work.
My place
and
of
no,
work.
No hate to your place of work.
Uh-huh.
The BLT roll should have more than one piece of bacon in it, because literally there was one piece, and I took it out because it was a tiny piece of bacon, and the rest was just nice. And then the smoked salmon sandwich I got, because I was feeling a bit posh. Very overspiced smoked salmon.
Oh dear!
I must admit,
I was worried when you said you had an issue with it. I was worried it was the opposite problem. It was too bland. So I'm glad I didn't give people that note. Jesus Christ!
But what happened as well on that Saturday is that we went into like a CEX, and I have to admit, the price difference between your CEX and our CEX is genuinely insane. Like, there was a copy of Simpsons Road Rage on PS2 for like £15. That would have been 50 quid over here.
Really? Oh, so cheaper here?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's way cheaper. Man, they're overcharging at the wazoo in the CEX.
Because they know they're the only game in town around your... I was saying when we had our meeting, it was a real sort of town mouse, country mouse kind of situation. Because you just seemed so overwhelmed with like being in London.
It was more that like I had like a head. I've been pounding when like Waitrose paracetamol for the good part of like 10 hours.
Waitrose paracetamol.
It was so embarrassing because I went to like the self service counter, and also they had the ID you, and I'm there with like a headache, looking at myself in the thing. I look like a 10-year-old child, like standing there as like the alarm thing goes off on like on the
table. I will be honest, when I was talking to you, it was like you had gout or something. It was like, oh, yeah. But obviously, when you explained what had happened the day before, it made sense. I was like, oh my god, is he okay? Has he just been like blasted by like radiation or something? What happened?
It did. I was walking. I had to walk up there as well, and I was walking up there with a bad headache, and also my feet were like killing me. So I was like, oh, this is horrible. But then I came home on the Tuesday, and I felt depressed since. I mean, we'll talk about that, but that you know, that was whatever. How was your week in gaming?
My week in gaming and nothing else. It's hard to quantify, really. I we'll probably get into this in my quote-unquote segment, but it's been a lot of putting out small fires and troubleshooting. So I picked up this emulation handheld called the RGB 30, which is a big part of this, and it's sort of this thing that goes parallel to like the Steam Deck and stuff. So it's something that I've been eyeing up for a while. I follow a bunch of YouTube channels like Wolf Den and stuff that are like reviewing versions of these, because they're coming out with new ones constantly. Like literally the exact same companies are releasing like competing products or like enhanced versions of the same hardware within like weeks of each other, to the point where it's like something like incredibly skeevy seems to be going on. But that's neither here nor there. So I picked up this one called the RGB30, which appealed to me because it kind of looks like a Neo Geo Pocket. It's got this perfectly square screen, 720 by 720. Which means like Game Boy scales up really nice to it. Obviously Neo Geo Pocket as well. Wonder Swan works great in vertical mode. A lot of vertical games look really nice. And I was quite excited to get it. I ordered it from the site. Took a bit to arrive. It arrived. It came with a micro SD card that was absolutely loaded with backups, which I was not expecting. Genuinely like the entire software library for some consoles. The interesting thing is no Mario at all on any of them. Like every other first party Nintendo, like Metroid, Zelda, no Mario. Anything with Mario in the name was exempt. That did mean that like Wario Land 2 and 3 were on there, so like, you know, we're set. But Wario Land 1 was not, because that's Super Mario Land 3. Yeah, it just sort of like disorienting, because sometimes you go into the NES and you're like, oh, I just want to play a quick round of Super Mario Bros. And then I'm like, ah, man, this one doesn't have my legally acquired backup that I'm deleting after 24 hours. Dang. But it's been a bit of a journey with the thing, because it's a very nice device in terms of like the aesthetics and stuff. Again, that square screen is like such a good idea that I'm like shocked nobody thought of it sooner, because so many devices just like play within that screen so well. But it, oh God, you have to like flash the firmware yourself first off. It's essentially just like a little Linux thing. It runs off this custom sort of mobile chip that's called like the Rock chip or something like that. You have to just flash the firmware yourself. And that can go wrong in any number of ways, because you have to like basically burn a DVD, but like to a micro SD card. I tried doing it on my computer, and after like the third time I did it, my computer just stopped recognizing my micro SD card adapter, which may be a general technical problem, but it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Just the amount of hoops I had to like jump through to get it working. And then sometimes it would be like, it would be working, but then there'd be no sound for some reason. Then I had to re-enable the sound. Yesterday I was trying out some Dreamcast stuff, and like it was just stuck at full volume, like massively distorted, blasting through. And it's like, even when I plugged in the headphones, it like wasn't making a difference. It's the only console I've ever encountered where you can plug in the headphones too far. Like you have to plug it in a way where there's a little bit of metal showing, because if you try and plug it in until it clicks, like on literally any other like electronic device produced since the invention of the headphone jack, it like, I don't know, it like pushes something in too far, and like you lose half of the sound, and it sounds like broken headphones, or like you've just put a noise filter too high. So I've been like, I'm someone that gets quite a lot of joy out of being a tinkerer. And it's like, when I got this thing and I watched a bunch of YouTube reviews and stuff, one of the big disclaimers people had was like, look, if you want something that's plug and play, this is not for you. You're going to have to be like fiddling with Linux. You're going to have to figure out like file structures. You're going to have to flash the firmware yourself, as I said. Also the micro SD cards that they send with you, with like some old version of the firmware installed, and like these backups are very prone to failure, which I found, you know, even trying to like get the stuff off them, it was like Back to the Future, like it was disappearing in my hands. I was like, no, don't go, just stay with me. So yeah, that's been my week. But it culminated in me finally getting things sorted last night, and inspired by last week's conversation, playing a bit more of Ape Escape. And oh, what a game. What a What a lovely game. Just the most like Nintendo game Sony's ever made. Definitely want to do a full segment about it at some point, but I do have to find a way to frame it because there is absolutely no goddamn way I'm playing all like 18 games in that series. There's just, there would never be the time. If we did an entire season that was just about Ape Escape games, there would not be the time. So I do want to figure out a fun sort of angle on it. But yeah, that's been my week in gaming. Putting out small fires.
So yeah, so like, as I was saying, I kind of came back and I was kind of just bummed out. I mean, I'm still kind of bummed out, but like, I was like, you know, I need to kind of just need to play some stuff or to consume some stuff that reminds me of, you know, chiller times.
Yeah.
And so I had two games on the mind for quite some time. Mm. And I was like, you know what, I'll look at them. So one of these games, I'll tease it out a little bit, you know.
Okay.
The first one I'll talk about, this one, completes kind of a trilogy of sorts, because when I first got my PS1, which would have been like, so it would have been like 2002, because you'll see why. There were like three games, or actually technically four, but one of them was Mario Modder, so I'm not going to talk about it. There were like three games that I had for that. I was like, you know, these are my first ever games I've ever had for a console of my own. There was Shrek Treasure Hunt.
Of course.
There was Spider-Man.
Okay, right.
And there was Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase.
Oh, God.
And I was, and I still am a big Scooby head. I had like a Scooby-Doo fan club card. I brought to school one day being like how cool I am. And people were like, that is genuinely cool. I was like, yeah, I know, guys. I know, I'm in with the Scoob. I'm in with the Scoob Meister. I used to spend, because for some reason, like, your half terms would line up when I was like sick as a kid, for some reason, I don't know why. Boomerang used to do like a Scooby-Doo week during half term, where they would for the entire week just play like Scooby-Doo cartoons. And I'd somehow, and it wasn't planned, because like, believe me, there were times where I definitely faked being sick during school, but this was like genuine, like I'd always be sick during Scooby-Doo week, so I just spend the entire like week lay on the couch watching like Scooby-Doo stuff. But Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase, so like Russell T. Davies for some reason. Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase, you know?
God, can you imagine what Russell working on Scooby-Doo would? God, oh, waving his hands about
the Mighty 49er, you know? But this was developed by a company called Art Co. Limited, or Art Company, I don't know.
Right.
For the PS1. And with the first of many throwbacks, Acclaim Studios, not that one, the one that made Plock and also made a load of like Spider-Man games, the GBA port, but I've never played that GBA port.
I have. Like, David, this is a fascinating, this is a nugget of information. This is one of the first games I ever owned, the GBA version of Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase. I was holding on to this information. I feel like Cilla Black with the like gigantic book. Like, David, you have been ambushed. I can contribute to your segment. I mean, you go through your stuff with the PlayStation version. I will interject if any of it resembles the Game Boy Advance version at all, but I very much doubt it.
I doubt it. So Art Co. or Art Company, they were a Japanese company. They're defunct now. I'll give you an example of some of the stuff that they've made, okay? And this will tell you, this is like a proper, like, you know, under the radar game company that's like somehow lasted way longer than you'd expect. Okay, here's a couple of examples of games they've made. Rugrats Totally Angelica on the PS1,
right?
Flushed Away on the DS. Just the DS1, and we'll see why.
Brilliant.
Also on the DS, Shaun the Sheep and Shaun the Sheep Off His Head.
Oh, I forgot that there were actual like Shaun the Sheep DS games. Oh, I should boot those up for sure. I want to see what those are about.
Well, you'll also be able to learn that one of the last games they've made, okay? Maybe think to yourself, it's going to be like, you know, on the DS or whatever. Family Party, 30 Great Games, Obstacle Arcade.
The Wii U.
On the Wii U. Mm-hmm. So they're here until the Wii U. They're like long-term. Mm. And of course...
Like Eurocom.
Like Eurocom.
They did 007 yeah. Legends on Wii U mm-hmm. and then shut the doors.
See, it's all coming back. Speaking of coming back, published by THQ. And this is the same year that THQ published two other games, okay? Action Man Search for Base X and mm-hmm. SpongeBob SquarePants Super Sponge. So it's all connected, you know? Mm-hmm. So here's the game. I think this is where our experiences will kind of, you know...
diverge.
Yeah, yes.
Perhaps.
So the PS1 game, many people... was trumping. Many people are saying it's very similar to Crash Bandicoot. It's not really. It's like a kind of a Crash Bandicoot-y like kind of, I suppose, packaging of Scooby-Doo. Like it's you know, you're going straight through a level, you're jumping over like gaps and stuff. Mm. The music is very Crash Bandicoot core. The famous genre Crash Bandicoot core.
Sure.
So you got like six levels, okay? Six worlds, really. It's kind of like the plot of the movie, where like, you know, you just start off in this like weird like Matrix style room where Ven was like, you can go into the worlds to fight the evil cyber guy. I can't remember, they called a Phantom Virus. Yeah, that's what it is. So six worlds. The first world is like ancient Japan. The second world is ancient Rome. A third world is like just a glacier or something, I don't know. The fourth world, to quote a deleted Potter bit that only you and I will get, the fourth world is Dinosaur World. The fifth world, I can't remember. And the sixth world, the fifth world is Ancient Egypt. And then like the sixth world is like a fun fair, because like at the end of the movie, they're in the fun fair. And you have three levels within each world. The first two are just like normal, like, you know, kind of like 3D. On rails platform kind of stuff, and then the third level is the boss fight. The boss fights are incredibly annoying as well. Like the first one is fighting, because like the mechanics of combat in this game are you get pies, like cream pies. Sorry, let me rephrase that. You get
no, please go on.
You get pies that you throw at bad guys, and literally it's one hit KO for all the bad guys. You just throw a pie, they just disappear. Almost as if the game was just like, yeah, get rid of them. You can also just walk past them. It's like maybe one that has like kind of like range damage. The rest of them are just like, you know, if you walk past them, they're not gonna hit you, it's fine. But the boss fights, it's like you had to hit them three times with pies, and the first one's fine because it's just like this guy throws fire to the stand in like the one row, because it's like three rows of fire and one like empty row. You stand in the empty row and you throw the pie at him. The second boss fight is, to say I was annoyed is an understatement. The second boss fight, you're in a coliseum, and it's a tiny, tiny coliseum. You can barely move. These four gladiator skeletons are in the crowd. They have spears. They throw two spears each. You kind of have to like run around, dodge the spears. That's fine. This gate rises up. They pop down. This gate rises up. This lion walks out. I should say you swap between Scooby and Shaggy at random points. Like the first world is Scooby, the second two are Shaggy, and then Dinosaur World is Scooby again. But you're playing as Shaggy, and this lion like has to like run and jump at you, and you have to like dodge the lion. It's really hard to dodge a lion in like a really tiny space like that. So you basically have to dodge the lion like three or four times. It tires at you for the pilot, and it goes back inside. Skeletons come back up, throw spears at you again, dodge the spears. So they go back down, the lion comes back out. You dodge the lion, throw the pie at the lion goes back in. Perfect, fine, whatever, it's whatever. The third time, all four skeletons come up. They all throw a spear at you at the same time. It's impossible to dodge. I've tried. Lion comes back out. If you're like me, you don't kill the lion because you're already dead because you can't dodge the lion properly, but you take down the lion. And I did that after like maybe five or six tries. I was like, yes, thank God, finally. The skeletons pop back up. and they do the four spear thing again. And this killed me maybe five times on top of the six times after that. It's really annoying. It's really like clunky game design. It's like it's a 2001 game, you know. It's
2001, famously the year of no other good games on it.
There were no games.
They were still figuring it out.
They were still figuring. They had PS and they had one. They were like, oh, what do we do here? But it's got like Shrek Treasure Hunt-y kind of jumping mechanics, where like Scooby's a kind of really like.
Oh yeah, those ones are all familiar with
the famous Shrek treasure. But like, it's really annoying because. Like Scooby is like almost light as a feather when he's jumping, and Shaggy's just like a heavy fucking piece of shit. So like when you're trying to jump with Shaggy, it like I missed time to jump because Shaggy just Shaggy's physics weren't there, and the Python mechanics really annoying as well because like it's on like an axis, so you have to like kind of aim it, and then you have to like keep like you're like moving around on the spot trying to like aim the pie. The thing is. Within hours of playing this game, I felt like a strange kind of serenity come over me.
Concerning, but go on.
It's like I felt I was safe, but I wasn't necessarily in need of being safe. It wasn't like nostalgia. It was like kind of adjacent to that.
Okay.
It was like, you know, being like, oh, well, you know, I can just play this game, this kind of game happily for the next, like, you know, 2 years and have a worry in the world.
Right.
To the point where I was like, what if I played Disney's Donald Duck Going Quackers,
a game
I've never played. I didn't play because I was like, that's too stupid, and also the file was like fucking 500 megabytes, so like that's way too big for a PS1 game. But that kind of got me thinking. And there's this other game, because right now with Scooby Doo we're concerned with Mystery Inc. Well, if I told you now, we're going to be concerned with Monsters Inc.
Okay.
Kind of.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm kind looking at of, it. Though. I'm wiping it on my shirt. Looking at it again.
Holding for the sun. You're like, yeah, I don't know. Well, you'd be right too, because we have a really weird voice acting situation here. This is Monsters Inc. Scare Island / Scream Team. It has a different title between countries. I'll explain the really weird release schedule here as well.
Okay.
We don't have John Goodman, and we don't have Billy Crystal. Instead, we have this guy called Brian Cummings, who plays Sully. He's like John Goodman's PS1 stand-in, because he's in Emperor's New Groove as well.
Yeah.
And then Carlos Alazraqui, I think that's his name. He plays Mike. We'll get to him in a second, because there's a really weird kind of story there. But for some reason, the one person who reprises their role in this game from the movie is Academy Award winner James Coburn as Waternoose. He is for some reason back doing lines. I think Buscemi might be in this as well. I'm not quite sure. Randall has like maybe two lines of dialogue.
But
James Coburn's back doing like complete, like, you know, new Waternoose
dialogue.
Wow. It's really weird.
I
don't know why he was like, I'll do it. I'll come back and do that for you. No bother. But Carlos Alazraqui is in the console version of Flushed Away as Shane Ritchie. The person, okay. not the character, which wasn't developed by Art Company, but rather Monkey Bar Games, who was a subdivision of Vicious Cycle Games, and their output was like a load of like licensed movie tie-ins, and they got later got bought up by D3 Publisher, who had published Flushed Away, who were then bought by 505 Games of published Control and Cooking Mama and Payday 2 and Death Stranding and PC. So the moral of the story here is that the real monster is the video game industry, because that stuff happens a lot. Now, here's one I've been excited to ask about. So this game, Scare Island, which is called Scream Team in the USA, was developed by a company called Artificial Mind of Movement. Do you know what they are?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do you know the story about why they had to change their name from Artificial Mind of Movement?
I don't, but I can tell you that they were called Megatoon at one point, and they were developing a game. They developed a game I was going to talk about before called Jersey Devil, which gets them attention.
I think that's how I know them. They changed their name from Artificial Mind of Movement because the acronym was A2M, which could also just mean ass to mouth. They changed it to behavior eventually. Yeah, they did. Flat Out, I think it's called, which is like...
Well, they did something else as well that we'll get to in a second, because they make a lot of licensed games, like SpongeBob games, Monster House, Teen Titans, and Mice Tims Racing. But then as Behavior Interactive, they make a little game called Dead by Daylight. So they're all in on monsters and scaring people. But the funny thing is, if you want to talk about like full circle symmetry, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Do you remember where these kind of games went? They went to iOS and Android, of course. You know, these kind of like tie-in games? We don't make console games for like, you know, Illumination's Migration anymore. You make like, you know, like the Migration iOS app where you look at birds. They make for iOS and Android Monsters University.
Okay.
So they come full circle into like, you know, so it's fun. It's a fun little thing. The thing is, there's a PS2 version of this game. And I've looked at it. It's just the game with like updated like visuals. The thing is, the only place you can get the PS2 version is Europe. Because in America, instead of PS2 Scare Island, they get Monsters Inc. the game on PS2. So it's like, well, you know, why could you just know here? But the PS1 version is available in both countries for some reason. I don't know. Or both regions, I suppose. So Monsters Inc. Scare Island is a 3D platformer in the vein of Super Mario 64 and also Shrek Treasure Hunt. But it's a much more refined version, but it is very similar in terms of how the game's handle. Essentially, you go around three different worlds on this island. There's like a city world, like a desert world, and an ice world. And there's four different like areas in each world. And you have to like scare these little robots called Nerves, which are like the stand-in for kids on this planet. Because the premise is basically like you are training to be a scarer.
Yes.
So you have to go to the island. Warhurst is there.
Yeah.
Sully and Mike sound like Robert Mitchum and Kermit the Frog, respectively.
okay.
It is really weird when you hear them talking. Like, that's clearly not John Goodman. Yeah. And then Mike's like, yeah. No, I was like, yes, that's right, Sully. And then that's so like, yeah, you got that right, Mike. Look, it's Steve Buscemi. But like, basically, you have to collect like, you have to scare like five of these Nerves, and you get like a bronze medal. The thing is, when you get the bronze medal, it plays unprompted a 20-second clip from Monsters, Inc. without any context, and it'll just fade in and out at the end. So it'll just be like random clips from Monsters, Inc. There's no like rhyme or reason. You get like a really weird like abbreviated version of the plot. But as a result, you get the War News reveal in the game before the end of the game. So it's really weird, like kind of like, you know, it's not quite a movie tie-in game, but it's also spoiling the movie for you as you're playing the game. You get like a silver medal if you collect 10 tokens, special Monsters Inc. tokens for Monsters Inking, and then you get gold if you scare all the Nerves in the level. There's more than five Nerves, like eight Nerves or something. It's a very repetitive process.
Yeah,
and it's got a really like obtrusive camera that will get like snagged on like bits of the world. And it's a really weird thing as well, where like you can race Randall down like these like slide levels. And they're not mandatory. It like auto loads you into it whenever you complete a world. Just be like, you know, here's like a tree you can race Randall, because you unlock like different abilities as well. But like, it's like a waste of a space in this game.
Yeah.
But like, the thing is, like, playing these two games, I was kind of hoping for like, you know, a bit of a comfort food, kind of calming release, and I kind of got that. I do have a copy of what do I get? I got like a load of like random like licensed games with the PS1 just loaded up waiting to go. But like, I didn't really get much from it. And I think while I appreciate the kind of trip back through, you know, memory lane, whatever, it turns out you can't really replace things you need to do for yourself with mindless distractions. Sometimes you gotta just like, you know, take the jump or take the leap. Or just accept where you are and not so much make it work, but, you know, find a way of helping it out, which I'm hoping to do. And it won't be through Donald Duck going quackers. unless the Dreamcast version is a smaller file if it is than the watch of space.
So yeah, I suppose that sort of the feeling of running on fumes is a little mutual, because when we started this cast, I think I definitely underestimated the amount of work that we're going into, like, the research each week. And a lot of that is, like, self-inflicted, to be clear. A lot of that is me really wanting to, like, cram as much research into each week as possible and, like, really structure a sort of historical walkthrough. But as we sort of found before we hit that sort of midpoint in the season, it was something that wasn't entirely sustainable week to week. Mm-hmm. So the guest format certainly helped with that. But as we approached this week, I quite quickly found that, like, I have plenty of ideas, but what I would actually have time to execute in the time that we had between episodes was, like, slim. So this is a way to sit down as your parents and say, look, sport, we love you very much, but there may be some small changes next season, okay? Mom and Dad might not be on all the same episodes all the time, but it's fine. So I suppose I just wanted to sort of walk through in a slightly fun way all the various fires and technical issues I've been having to put out behind the scenes that have driven me slightly insane, but all for the love of it, really. Yeah, I suppose, like, it's a good thing you mentioned with the Scooby-Doo stuff, how that ties into, like, the previous segments you did about, like, your penchant for licensed games and, like, stuff that you visited as a kid, because, like, a lot of my segments this season have been me very pointedly avoiding stuff that I'm that familiar with. Mostly because I feel like when you do a segment about something that you already have an interest in or something that you're super familiar with, you kind of have this pressure to, like, do it justice in a way. And maybe that's just me. It doesn't have quite so much to do with the style of segment we were talking about this week. But, like, one of the biggest things that I had come to me early on was the sort of the massive flop sweat that happened when I did that second episode segment about Playdate. And I think I managed to pull it through in the end, but part of where the anxiety came from was that I was, like, a month into this console that I was very invested in, but talking about it in a way that, like, invited conversation proved to be difficult.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I think the thing is that, like, you know, we go into this being like, we're gonna, like, you know, just present something we love, and we're gonna, like, really, we're gonna really, like, you know, bring this out of us, and we're gonna really, you know, teach the other person something, or teach someone else something, or do all this kind of stuff.
And then, the TED Talk thing was quite an early pitch of this.
And then what happens is we get into, like, the research, maybe, and we're like, the angle I thought was here maybe wasn't quite here.
Yeah.
And it becomes a thing of, like, you know, trying to maybe, if not morph that, then being like, well, is there another angle I can take, or is there another thing I can do that's kind of close to this?
Yeah.
And then it kind of becomes a bit of a, like, a, you know, I'm kind of spread out between, like, three or four different ideas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to pick out, like, which one am I going to do? Which one am I going to do? Which one will work better? Which one will, like, you know, make this person laugh or be, like, a surprising reveal or whatever,
yes,
you know?
I know I've created many Hydras where, you know, you cut the head off, more sprout in its place. Mm. It's like, I mean, it's in one way, it's a blessing, because there's so often so many segments where I'm like, oh shit, right, there's this connection, or this is going on with this particular dev, and I have to be like, look, I love this thread, but, like, it has to go in the box for later. Mm. I suppose behind the curtain slightly is that, like, I've got attention deficit, so that is, like, research is something that, like, really sort of feeds that part of me. But where attention deficit can be sort of, like, the curse in some ways is that, like, yeah, everything seems equally important, and finding the thread is super difficult. Yeah, I suppose the thing that was just also crazy that I didn't anticipate when we started this thing was just, as I said, like, the myriad of, like, technical issues, especially in the second half of the season, where I've messaged you about some of them. But some of the stuff that like happened when I got the audio back is just crazy. It's like, we obviously the Turok episode was the big one where we tried to re-record it and it went horrifically. Because again, I've said it elsewhere, but as it turns out, when you're doing a comedy podcast, just and where a huge part of that is like surprising the other person, like it's trying to deliver the exact same punchline with the same like conviction and get a good response is like, nah, man. You know, it's like if a stand-up comedian just like sort of gave up halfway through the set and then just like came back on and was trying to do it again like nothing had happened, and everyone would just be like, what the fuck. That we re-recorded because there was some weird issue where it literally sounded like a bat was flying by the mic every few seconds. And it was like, I listened to like 2 minutes of it and it was like, oh, I'm itchy. Like, I do not like this. I managed to filter out in the end. I had to sort of like, unfortunately, bottom out the audio quality of it, which is why it sounded a little bit like I'm in a tin can. But it was either that or something going every like 10 seconds. And I mean every 10 seconds, like, woof. I was also on the Splatoon episode. I'd adjusted my audio because the balancing had been off on a previous episode. It had been too quiet or something, or too distorted. So I changed the audio gain and it made it even more distorted, which was already a lot because I was already quite conscious about being loud on that episode where it was our first one where it was we had three hosts. We had Kit join us for that one, and I was worried about speaking over other people and then getting back the audio where it was a gigantic blue block that looked like I've been talking down a walkie-talkie. It was like, oh, for God's sake. And it just seemed, I mean, even before we recorded this episode, for some reason, my Chromebook has just decided to stop reading my microphone like a usual microphone, and it's just like put this weird underwater distorted effect on it. I suppose a lot of it's to say that, like, art is like goddamn difficult to make, and sometimes there's a hell of a lot of things that can get in your way. And you know, I know it's a little pretentious to call what we do like art, but there is a lot of the artistic process is kind of scratched for me while doing this, which is why I do want to figure out ways to do it that won't burn me out. But like, oh boy, especially coming up to that midpoint in that first half of the season, that was scary. Oh, God. It was like literally the Wallace and Gromit building the tracks in front of him, me building that Ace Lightning segment. I was like, you can hear a bit of it in the episode where I'm like, I'm picking up the GBA game. I'm like, this is dreadful. I have no idea what's going on. Like, I mean, the main hook of the episode comes from me trying to close the PlayStation 2 game, and then it's suddenly turbo boosting to like 200 frames a second. So to say that one was clutch was like, wow. But it's like, there's been a lot that I've really enjoyed about this, because a lot of it as well is kind of, I'm very prone to like research rabbit holes and like wiki walks, I think people tend to call them, where you'll just be like on a Wikipedia page and then you'll be like, oh, I've heard of that before, and you click on it and then you follow something else. Again, see attention deficit. But it's fun to sort of carbonize that into something that other people can listen to, rather than just sitting on all this trivia for years and years and years and hoarding it like a dragon on top of a pile of gold. Yeah, this is I said to David before we started recording this, but I said we were probably going to do a segment about segments, because in the past week as well, my work has like completely screwed my schedule to the point where I barely had time to pull anything together for this app. And I think that's probably about as apt as I could put it for what we've done here at the moment.
No, I was gonna say, like, it is like there are times I think we've put so much effort into this and like element of this, like, and I hate like tooting my own tour, I hate tooting my own tour. I can't fucking say
it. Say it again.
I hate tooting my own horn, but like there are times where like I think we put so much effort into this. I think it shows. Like, I want to say, like, I think the way that you have brought this together and like post and even like trailer, but the way it's just, I think it's incredible. I think, you know, I think you deserve like a lot of you know, applause and just, you know, praise for how you have brought this all together. It's really, it is really, you know, blow me away, you know, listening back, saying like, I sound smart here, or like, you know,
yeah,
this transition that you put in, or like, you know,
oh my god, yeah. Some of the transitions have been so fun. I didn't anticipate doing quite this much editing. I was genuinely anticipating just being like, I'm gonna cut out all the times I say or like, or like the weird awkward silences, and like realign clips where stuff got out of sync. Yeah, I don't know what hit me about the segmented approach as well. It came from you literally saying on the spot in the first episode, we're going to take a quick break. I was like, I didn't realize we were recording a podcast that was going to have breaks. What? And then the funny thing was that you said that for like kayfabe, and then literally you barely took a breath, and then you were like, you launched into your segment. It was like, it was amazing.
That came from, we had just done a podcast about, I think it was the 2011 movie thing. Or something before that, and I was like, you know, breaks sound good here, and then I was like, you know, we'll do a break, and then I was like, I meant to take a pause after saying, you know, that, but I was like, you know, I'll just, you know, I was like, Sam will know this, we'll do a break here, and then I was like, and then wait. Like,
yeah,
going back as well to like other things, I noticed it before as well, but you guys really did not hear how bad like the Pokemon Ranger fiasco. Going through these and stuff. That genuinely, like, I was dying in real time. It was genuinely just one of the worst experiences of my life. But it's, yeah. But like, I just want to say that you have really, you know, if there's anything you people listening out there like, it is mostly what Sam has done, I think.
I appreciate it, buddy. It's been really fun to work on so far, and like, as I say, the list of ideas that I have is genuinely like monstrous, and it like grows every, and I mean, you know, even in the Discord channel we set up that is fairly recent, and we've you know, it mostly is intended as like, you know, guests and stuff in there, but we've also put in some friends and stuff that enjoy listening. That's been really nice to get that like actual level of feedback, because I've done sort of like creative projects and collaborative projects like this before, but as a lot of people can probably relate to, it's quite difficult when you don't really have an audience. And even like just an audience of friends and stuff, honestly, an audience of friends is like the best thing I can possibly ask for, because it's not like I'll be like name searching on Twitter at like 2 a.m. and then I'll be like, oh no, this random person is like completely pinpointed my life. It's like, well, you know, friends are friends, you know. They won't like take bullshit or anything, but they'll also be like kind. They know who you are. Yeah, that level of feedback has just been like so nice, and it's like, any of you guys from the Discord listening, like, thank you for your feedback, and also like, I would love to have you on for apps, so whichever freak flag you want to fly, hit me up and we'll see what we can do. Yeah, wow, what a strange episode. I suppose, I mean, you know, in some ways full circle, in other ways hopefully sort of opening the door to what's to come next season, because we've got some fun plans. Yeah, I suppose we do our outros at this point. Is that what we do?
I don't know.
Episodes in. I'm not too sure. This has been Game Era. We will be back in a month or so with a whole raft of new episodes. We're gonna, as I say, tweak the format a bit, figure out some stuff that's a little less crazy, because as much fun as it's been to make, I hope I've made it at least somewhat clear that like it's probably unsustainable in some ways. So yeah, stay tuned, but like, do get excited for what's to come next, because I'm excited to make it, frankly.
I can tease that my next thing is gonna be a
okay,
and it's gonna be a very kind of frothy bring us back through of British. You may or may not remember who were tasked with certain.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
I definitely don't want to call my shot too early, because there was that time in episode 3 or 4 where I told you outright that I was going to do an episode about plot.
Oh, and yeah.
Then just didn't.
Can I tell you a story about that, actually? I was, sure. Because if you notice how bad the art is every time, that's me toying away on paint.net.
Oh, your art's great, David.
But there was a point where, because you would say Plock, I had grabbed like a lot of Plock assets, and I was pre-designing this thing of Plock, and I was like, oh, this is perfect, you know, it's gonna tie in perfectly. And then when you were like, I'm doing this, I was like, oh no.
Well, you've got it ready for, I don't know, episode freaking 36 or whatever. It's canon that, now.
The two acclaims, the one acclaim that made Plock and the other one that worked on Turok.
Yeah.
Turok Plock, you know?
I was meaning to say, I don't know if that was a claim. I think Software Creations of the development studio.
They did something with it, and we can be grateful that they did. God. You'll be grateful they did something with it.
Jesus. Yeah,
sorry, that came out way too harsh.
Yeah, it's fine. I have no idea where you've got the Acclaim association from. I would be fascinated to find out.
I looked up Plock Acclaim, and there was it sounds like, you know, praise. Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was. I know. You know what it was? I'll read you the first line of the Wikipedia page here. Acclaim Studios Manchester, in brackets, formerly Software Creations.
Right. So yeah. So Acclaim bought them at some point. I think that was a very brief phase when they were Acclaim Manchester. That's crazy.
So it counts.
Sure. They touched it. They got the cheese touch. Wow, what a bizarre little nugget. As always, I've been Sam. You can find me at Sammy_Crow on Twitter and all the sites. The podcast itself is That Gamer Era Podcast. We're also a proud part of the Friendly Mush Network. You can find plenty of other shows on there, Pod to Who Cast, Condensed Truth, etc. How about you, David? Any particular plugs?
If you want to buy Shrek Extra Large, it's €10. So, you know, I don't know. That's about it. Didn't we do well? I don't know.
Good.
I don't know.